Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. At this time, we would like to welcome everyone to Sebesp's conference call to discuss its results for year 2018. The audio for this conference is being broadcast simultaneously through the internet on the website www.sebesp.com.br, where you can also find the slideshow presentation available for download. We inform that this conference is being recorded and that all participants will only be able to listen to the conference during the company's presentation. After the company remarks are over, there will be a Q&A period. At that time, further instructions will be given. Should any participant need assistance during this conference, please press star then zero for an operator. Before proceeding, let me mention that forward-looking statements are being made under the safe harbor of the Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1996. Forward-looking statements are based on the beliefs and assumptions of Sebesp's management and on information currently available to the company. Forward-looking statements are not guarantees of performance. They involve risks, uncertainties, and assumptions because they relate to future events and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not occur in the future. Investors should understand that general economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors could also affect the future results of Sebesp and could cause results to differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. Today on the call today, we have Rue Afonso, Chief Financial Officer and Investor Relations Officer, Mario Arruda Sampio, Head of Capital Market and Investor Relations, and Sylvia Xavier, Head of Costs and Tariffs. Now I'd like to turn the conference over to Mario Sampio. Sir, you may begin your conference.
Hello, everybody. Good afternoon. On behalf of Sebesp, I thank everybody to participate in this conference call. Today, we will discuss the full year results for 2018, as well as provide some updates on several important topics for the company. Presentation contains seven slides. After that, as usual, we'll go through a Q&A session. Let's start on slide three. Here we can see the company's billed water and sewage volume, which increased by 1.5% in 2018. The greatest growth occurred in the residential category. This, despite the changes in consumption habits that were incorporated by the population during and given the water crisis that we went through in the years of 14 and 15. Now move to slide four. Here we provide you very quickly some financial highlights. Our gross operating revenue in 2018 increased by 16.6% when compared to 17. Which going from 12.2 billion to 14.3 billion reais in 18. This increase is mainly explained by the new agreement signed with the city of Guarulhos late in 2018, leading to a 800 million reais increase in operating revenue during the year when compared to 2017. What also explains the revenue growth is the tariff repositioning established by the regulator of 7.9% applied since November 2017 and 3.5% since June 18. Added to these previously and already mentioned, we have also the increase in water and sewage billed volume of 1.5%. As for costs in 2018, there was an increase of 2.8% when considering all costs, plus administrative and commercial expenses and construction costs. As a consequence of the highlighted variations, adjusted EBITDA reached 6.54 billion reais, which represents a growth of 24.1% compared to the 5.26 billion presented in 2017. As for the adjusted EBITDA margin, in 2018 we reached 40.7% versus 36.1% in 2017. When we exclude construction revenues and costs, the adjusted EBITDA margins come to 48.8% in 18 against a margin of 45.4% in 17. Let's go on to slide 5. Here we will comment briefly on the main variations in costs during the year of 18. As we mentioned on the previous slide, costs, selling and administrative expenses and construction costs increased 297 million reais, or 2.8%. If we exclude construction costs and selling and administrative, total costs increased by 637.8 million reais, or 8.4%. The main increase came from the general materials account that grew by 43.4%, which is explained by higher maintenance expenses and prices for maintenance materials, and to a 20.5% increase in electricity expenses due to higher energy costs and greater consumption during the year. As usual, for a more detailed explanation of our costs, please refer to our earnings release. Go on to slide 6. Here we see the main variations affecting the company's net income in 2018 of 2.8 billion reais, always compared to the same period of the previous year. Net operating revenue increased 1.5 billion. Costs and expenses, including construction costs, were 297 million higher. Other operating revenues and expenses, including results from equity method, had a positive variation of 35.1 million. Net financial results increased by 806 million. And finally, income tax and social contribution increased by 93 million due to the higher taxable income presented in the period, mainly explained by the tariff increases and the agreement with Guarulhos. All this partially offset by the increase in expenses with services and electricity, and most of all, by higher exchange variation expenses. Let's move to slide 7. Here we briefly discuss the situation of the reservoirs that supply the São Paulo metro region. The hydrological year that started in October showed a below average rain until January. However, with the high rainfall in February and March, the accumulated rainfall in 6 of the 7 water systems that supply the metro region were above the historic average for the wet period, which is the period that runs from October to March. Specifically for this period, we highlight the expected average year average pluviometry for the Cantareira system with 98%, the Guarapiranga system with 135%, and the Alto Tietê system with 111%. Regarding the storage of bulk water in the metropolitan region of São Paulo, today we have 74% of the capacity available. This figure is higher than March last year, which was 63%. Today, considering current bulk water stored capacity, the works carried out to increase water security, especially with the new San Lorenzo production system and the Jaguaria-Chibaia interconnection, plus the change in consumption habits by part of the population, the company finds itself well prepared to face a dry period, which runs from April to September, exactly when we have lower rainfall volumes. Let's move now to slide 8. Let's comment on the investments made in last year and the investment plan for the period of 19 to 23. In 2018, the investments totaled 4.2 billion. Of this amount, 2.2 billion are non-cash investments, of which 928 million refers to the city of Guarulhos. For the 1923 period, the company expects to invest approximately $18.7 billion, of which $7.7 billion will be in water and $11 billion in sewage collection and treatment. Regarding the investment mix, in 18, 55.6% were made in water and the balance in sewage. However, considering that investments in water security expansion are almost complete, with only the reversal of the Itapanhaú River remaining, the mix will change in such that investments in sewage collection and treatment will return to pre-crisis levels. As you can see in this slide, already in 19, investments in sewage will be the majority with 52% and will reach 60% of the total investment by 2022. Let's go to our last slide. Let's go through this slide to comment on the latest updates regarding regulation. In January 19, ARCEP released the results of public consultation number 0918 with the objective to collect contributions and manifestations related to its proposal for the regulatory agenda for the period of 1920, which definitely is important and will affect the third tariff review. Among the subjects discussed are the criteria for the recognition in the tariff of transfers made to the municipal funds of sanitation. On February 11, ARCEP published public notice consultation number 0219 to discuss these criteria and received contributions until March 11, when the consultation period was concluded. So it's moving. Another important disclosure was ARCEP's response to SEBESP's requests related to the final numbers of the second tariff review. We're all expecting this. On May, if you recall, what we're talking here is on May 24, 2018, SEBESP filed, along with ARCESP, an administrative appeal questioning the methodology utilized for applying the compensatory adjustment in revenue, electricity costs, and investments made during the first tariff cycle. Also filed a request for clarification of the reasons leading to a significant reduction in OPEX projections for the period of the second cycle, that is 17 to 20, and also a request to review estimates for the X factor calculations, the compensatory adjustment for the delay in the application of the second tariff review, and the calculation of the financial components related to municipal funds, this last point related to the contract with the municipality of São Paulo. ARCEP's response, as I mentioned, took a long time, but came on February 28th this year. With regard to the administrative appeal, the agency decided not to accept the merits. Regarding the request for clarification and estimate review, ARCEP partially accepted our point and in such determined two things. First, the correction of the X factor, reducing it from 0.885 to 0.6920. This, just as a reminder, in the first cycle, the X factor was 0.9386, therefore, we have now an improvement of 0.2466%. The second decision was to apply a compensatory adjustment of 0.8408% to the upcoming tariff adjustment to cover for two things also. The delay in the application of the tariff revision in the second cycle, specifically related to the capitalization of revenues differences after June 2018, and second, to an adjustment in the reference price dates adopted in the OPEX calculation from December 16 to April 17. Last, as for the calculation review for financial components of the transfers to municipal funds, again, this case related to the contract with the municipality of São Paulo, it was rejected by the agency. Well, this ends the presentation, and we can go for the Q&A questions.
Thank you. At this time, I would like to remind everyone, in order to ask a question, please press star, then one on your telephone keypad. If you are using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing the keys. If you would like to withdraw your question, please press star, then two. At this time, we will pause momentarily to assemble our roster. Since there appears to be no questions, I'd like to turn the conference back over. I'm sorry, there is a question from Santiago Geraton with EV. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi guys. I was just wondering if you could share your expectations on the MP-868 that's going to be discussed in the Senate in a few minutes.
Santiago, just to make sure we understood, you want our comments on the provisional measure 868, correct?
Correct.
Okay, just give me a second here.
Hi, Santiago, it's Rui speaking. The provisional measure has, in fact, several different points with some of them that could be considered very welcome in the sector, and some others are not clear defined, and finally some others are not, in our point of view, good for the improvement of the sanitation sector. Starting for the first point, generally speaking, to support those states or municipalities that cannot count with a solid and sound regulatory agencies and regulatory bodies, this provisional measure addresses, from our standpoint, correctly the point, in a sense that they established that there would be in ANA and quite an important anchor to define the general parameters for states or municipalities to deal with the regulation that's not possible due to the scale or lack of capabilities or lack of financials. So from our point of view, this is good, in spite of you take time, several years probably, that it could be something concrete. This is, it's, from our point of view, well-addressed. Second point, but we will imply a huge and important change for ANA, that nowadays it's only deals with hydrological issues rather than regulatory issues related to water and sanitation. So it would be very important to change their technical body, to gain capability, and it will take time. But in the right direction from our standpoint. Second important thing is that to reiterate that from a best standpoint, competition and attract more private capital and more competition for the sector is not a bad thing. It's a good thing. Sabesp welcomes competition. Sabesp is ready to compete. And but our only comment on that is that that competition should be fair. Fair in the sense that all the assets that are not fully depreciated to the moment that municipalities or even states and municipalities open a new bidding process for new competitors, they will be have to be paid by those newcomers. That's our the only point that we would like to point out and to reiterate it. Otherwise, it would be an expropriated attitude against not only the public sector or the mixed cattle sector like us, but against even with the private sector. So from our standpoint, private capital is very welcome in the water sanitation sector. Sabesp itself is a very well succeed joint venture, say quote, a PPP, a public partnership, public-private partnership, in a sense that we count in our capital structure with almost half of participation of our private capital. So we're comfortable with that. It's very welcome. That would be our general comments on that. Of course, we can talk a lot of it, but to be very strict to the main issues, I'll finish with that. Okay.
Got it. Thanks.
Since there appears to be no further questions, I'd like to turn the conference back over to Sabesp Management for any closing remarks.
Okay. Thank you for your time. We are always available here at the company for any questions with the IR team. And see you soon for the first quarter release. Bye-bye.
This conference is now concluded. Thank you for attending today's presentation. You may now disconnect.